Yeah, so I want to just comment on what Ansu said because it was really awesome. It actually says in Hebrews 11 that Abraham was so convinced that God could raise up his son from the dead because he already did it a first time. I always marvel when I read that. Like, so Abraham's wife Sarah was barren, and so she had a dead womb. That's what they would call it. And so Abraham saw his wife get pregnant after she, quote unquote, had a dead womb. So dead womb. So God raised up a son, Isaac, from the dead a first time. And so Abraham's walking up the mountain. And this is what the Bible says. And he's fully convinced that if God raised him up from the dead once, he could do it again. So he has no trouble willingly sacrificing his son. And that's just crazy. If we could, like, if we could grasp onto that and say, well, God moved in my life here, so I'm fully convinced that he's going to move in my life here. And yeah, it's just powerful. So think about that when you're alone with God or when you're driving, whatever. But so this morning, I just have a lot on my heart and my mind, and so bear with me. I'm going to just try and get it all out there, but it's basically just what the gist of it is, the righteousness of Jesus or the blood of Jesus Christ is something that I've been really like thinking about and learning about just as I go out on my day by day and live life. And it's just, it's so much to grasp, and it's so simple all at the same time. And in scripture, it says that through Jesus's blood shed, that we've been given redemption or we've been redeemed. There's multiple verses that talk about that and ways they say it, but it's all saying the same thing. And the word redemption, I have it right here specifically. Give me one sec. The word redemption is the action of being saved from sin or error. We know that, but there's another meaning. It says the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment. And then the word redeem means to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. So before man sinned, man was in the garden, Adam and Eve were in the garden, and there was no sickness on the planet. There was no animosity or hatred on the planet. There was no selfishness. There was no cursing. There was no evil, any of that stuff, whatever you want to put in there that you see in the world around you that's wrong, or maybe you see it in your own life or your own mindset that's wrong. It didn't exist. And so Jesus comes, he lives as if he was in the garden the whole time while he's on the earth, free from sin, without any blemishes or spots in his life, and then dies on a cross. This is the common message. We all know this, but I'm just going over it for the sake of it. Dies on a cross and imputes that to us. So through the blood of Jesus, it's as if we've been, as the word redeemed states, we've regained possession of life before the apple entered any one of our mouths. And so this is something that I've thought about for a while, but I really began to like look at it in a new light. And so like you've been brought back in your own personal life because of what Jesus did, whether you've believed it or not, to before sin has entered your body. So like I was in the shower thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about in 1 Peter 2, I believe it is, where it says, by his stripes you are healed. And I always thought about it as like, because he was crucified, we have peace with God. So now we can receive healing. And that's definitely true. But for a moment, I had thought about it as like, because he was crucified and by his stripes, like he was, his blood was poured out on the cross for us, perfection, like righteous blood. He had never done anything wrong. Now that we're back in the garden, why should I have to have, in my case, I was thinking like, why should I have to have pain in my feet when it's as if sin had never entered my body? You know, because there's no, Jesus walked around whole because he had never sinned. And so if we like think about that, and for me, that question popped in my head, like, why should I have pain in my body when it's as if I never sinned and death comes through sin? And my feet didn't get healed automatically. It wasn't like, but I started to think about like all these different people that I see all the time and how like we've been given the same gift as Jesus. So Jesus was amazing and special in the fact that he was the image of God and that he died on the cross for us, but he's not better than us in the sense of what he can do and who he is and how he walked. And I don't mean like what he can do as in like, we're not the ones who do miracles. We do it through Christ in us. That's not what I'm saying. But what he did and how he walked. He walked in love. He was merciful. He was compassionate. He was kind. He had all the fruits of the spirits going through his life. And then he was supernatural in all these different ways, prophetic words, miracles, signs, and wonders. But what he did is not exclusive to him. It's exclusive to the fact that he walked righteous and all that was available because of his relationship with God. But if we read Hebrews 10, I believe, or 9 to 10, it says that it talks about a will, actually, like a will in real life where you write out your will and everything that you have goes to somebody when you die. And it talks about how it's useless when the person is still living, but Jesus died. So then when he died, all that he had, everything that he was living in and walking in and experiencing and performing became available to us. And so I started to think about that right there. Like everywhere I go, I have the ability to manifest whatever it is that Jesus would manifest in that situation. And so what does that mean for us? What does that mean for everybody in this room, like everywhere you go? And how does that affect your day and the response that you have to people that you come across, or the response that you have to situations that you come across? And it's powerful, and it's something I want us all to think about as we go throughout our day. Like, you can respond in a gazillion different ways, but how would God respond in this way? And now that he lives inside of me, and he paid a price so that I could respond as if I never had eaten the tree, or I could live as if sin has never entered into my body, what is my response? What should my response ought to look like, and how can I be a part of that? How can I take hold of that and walk in that? I'm going to share a few testimonies from the past 2 weeks, but I wanted to share that first because sometimes I have a hard time sharing testimonies, and it's because it comes across to me. Maybe it's not true on the outside, but it comes across to me as if I have something that everybody else doesn't have, and so it gets weird. Like, it feels weird when I tell a testimony and then somebody would come up to me like, oh, you need to pray for me. And I'm fine with that. I love praying for people and stuff like that. But it makes it seem like I have a Jesus that they don't have. And it's not true, which is why I shared what I was sharing. Like, everybody has the same exact gift. Everybody's been given the same amount of life, the same amount of Holy Spirit, the same amount. And yeah, you can seek after it more than others and this and that. But I don't want to make it, we never should make it about like someone who's advanced farther or this and that, but realize like everything that this person is walking. If you see me pray for somebody and they get healed, the first response in your head should be like, man, I can do exactly what he just did and step over to your neighbor and do that. And I challenge myself with that all the time because there are a lot of people who see crazier things or just all sorts of different things. It doesn't have to be miracles. It's just something that I pray for a lot of people for miracles because there's a lot of people with all these different ailments all around the world. And I because of my job, I see at least 12 random people I'll probably never see again a day, at least, minimum. So that's 12 different conditions usually because everybody's got something going on in their life. And so I'm thinking that way, like God, I want to see, you know, like one out of the 12 get healed. And I'm thinking like, wait, I want to see the rest of the 11 get healed. And it's not like they need to be prayed for by somebody else like Bill Johnson or something, because I have the same Jesus that Bill Johnson has. And it's just so, it's something to keep in your heart and your mind that like everything that God gave to Jesus is accessible and available and in your life. And more so in the actions than in supernatural, divine signs, wonders, and miracles. Although I challenge you to go after that too, because if you don't, you'll never experience it. You know, like I'm certain that one day the pain in my feet is going to go away. And so I'm going to keep going after it. But I don't want to make it all about that. I want to make it about the character and the heart of God. And that also is part of the character and the heart of God. One of the testimonies from the past 2 weeks is that I was at a company called Momentum Solar, which is actually a really cool company if you ever want to work there. It seems like a really cool place to work. There's like a bunch of young people and they're all having a blast, but they're getting lots of work done. But this guy who is like the maintenance guy, quote unquote, he walked me around the building for a couple hours, this and that. And then at the end, I knew that he had left knee pain. It's one of those things that like every now and again, I'll just know it because the Lord will reveal to me. And his name was Qasim, Qasim. And so he was of Muslim descent, but he has no affiliation with it because he's like, it's pointless, it's useless. His words, not mine, that kind of thing. And then I asked him about his knee, and I told him like why I knew that he had pain in his left knee. And I got to pray for him, and he was like completely healed on the spot. And you'll know, I mean, this happens to me every now and again, but like he was running around the parking lot dropping F-bombs, so I knew something was different. You know, like he was really like bending his knee. And he was like, thank you so much, like pondering, like Jesus, huh? That kind of thing. And it was really awesome and such a privilege. But then like a few hours later, I had prayed for a whole bunch of other people who had same conditions, not healed. And so we're constantly in this place of like growing up into him, but also like seeing God on the day to day. You know, the Bible talks about going from glory to glory. And so, yeah, like I want to do that. And if you don't set your expectation on what the blood of Jesus paid for, which is glory to glory, you'll settle for less than glory to glory. And maybe you'll just get good. And you're okay with good, but I don't want to be okay with good. Like good is not enough for me. I met a guy who was supposed to be here on Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, he didn't make it. He's a homeless man. His name is Jack. Really awesome dude, but he messed up his back really bad. He used to climb up on ladders and do all this stuff he was telling me. And then I forget what he said happened, but he's got like a herniated discs and pinched nerves and stuff like that. And he can no longer work. That's the only reason he's homeless. It may be more than that, but that's what he said, you know? And I'm thinking like, man, this guy doesn't need just a meal. Although I offered him that. I prayed for him multiple times. I blessed him, you know, like all these different things. He needs a new back, you know, and he's not going to get it from surgery because they told him it's slim chance. He doesn't have the money. He doesn't have insurance and stuff like that. So he like needs a new back, and there isn't enough like kind words and stuff like that to help that situation, you know? And so in my heart, I'm like, man, like, God, I want to be able to give that away. I want to be able to do something to intervene in that life because we have the opportunity to alter the entire course of someone's life. And I guarantee you doing what I just did was loving my neighbor did alter the course of his life. And so I'm not minimizing that by any stretch of the means. But if we don't go after what's available, then it'll just be like a kind word or a good word rather than a supernatural experience and a life like radically different. And again, I'm not minimizing because it's all about the whole message is love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if you love your neighbor, if you just give a cup of cold water to somebody, as it says, that is the demonstration of the gospel because it's all about love. But don't set aside the supernatural of God is what I'm getting at. But so another really awesome testimony was I was in Hoboken doing something for a company, and then they have like it's a building that owns more than one company in it. And I worked with the one company, and then the owner told me that the other lady was 20 minutes late, so I had to just sit around for 20 minutes. And so I worked on like jobs that I'm gonna go at after that job because I have access to the paperwork beforehand, so I can work on them before I get there based on the information I'm given. So I wasn't like just sitting around, I was doing my job anyway. But I say that because the woman came in, I did what I needed to do. I asked her if she had any pain in her body, and she was like, no. And then she asked why, and I told her all this stuff, like, hey, Jesus loves you, you know, he lives inside of me, and since I got born again, like, when he got saved, he'll speak to me and this and that. And so she was telling me that she has some sort of condition, I don't remember what it was, but it's been giving her, like, real anxiety and keeping her up at night, and now she's wondering, like just the fall of man, like, oh, it's like a little pain somewhere in her body. She's wondering if it's cancer or this. She's afraid to go to the doctor because she doesn't want to confirm any of the things that have been popping in her head when it could just be like a slight pain, you know? And so she was like so relieved. And I was thinking like, man, like how easy it is to get trapped, like especially if you don't have any relationship with God, like you get a pain in your wrist and suddenly you think you have like some terrible disease or something like that. And people are going through that. And she was like super encouraged. I got to pray for her about it. But she said the thing that touched me the most, which she said, man, you know, like I was 20 minutes late and I thought you're going to be like mean and angry and rushing around and you're here like so serene and calm. And I was thinking like, how do we respond? You know, like that's the best compliment in the world to me because that's it. That's it. At the end of the day, like, that's it. I mean, we go to work to pay our bills, but we go to work to manifest Jesus. We go to work to love our neighbor. Because if you don't, like, you're squandering what's been given to you, which is the people before you. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, if that confronts you and it's negative, don't receive it that way. It's just that you've been given a privilege to walk by the people you walk by every day. You've been given a privilege to work next to the people you work next to every day. And whether or not you think so, they're searching for something. They're searching for stability because everybody has their high lows and ins and outs and moments of crazy anxiety and this and that. But we're in Christ and we have the ability to know his love to redeem that so we don't have to live in that area. So if you manifest something that's outside of what they're used to, then they have something to latch onto, and then they have something to see and say, wow, this is different. Like, what is this? And just take note of it or interest them or draw them in, you know, because it says no one comes to the Father unless they're drawn. So if you reveal the Father to them, if you demonstrate mercy, love, any of the fruits of the Spirit, suddenly they're seeing something that you couldn't possibly do on your own because it came through the blood of Jesus Christ, which is what I talked about in the beginning. Like, it came through the fact that you've been brought back to the beginning and now you've been restored. And so all those things are coming back into your life because it's before animosity entered into your life. It's before frustration has entered into your life. It's before life became all about you and you were thinking like, man, I want to get home from work. Why is this woman late? Why couldn't it be somebody else who is here? And all the while this woman's worried about the fact that she may have cancer or something like that. And you have this wonderful opportunity to just bring peace, bring joy, or maybe even a healing. I don't know. She didn't like show any signs that she was healed instantly. I didn't even know exactly what to pray for because she just said, I've had like this weird pain somewhere in her body. I don't even remember where at the moment. But so like, it's the opportunity that counts. It's the moment that you don't push aside to the curb, where you just take the time to demonstrate like, hey, God's thinking about you. He loves you. He cares about you. This, and this. And so let's be people that seize the moment. Let's be people that get everything out of the price that he paid. You know, like absolutely every ounce of what the blood of Jesus paid for, I want it in my life. Whether it looks like foolishness to some people or not, I want it in my life. You know, I've been working this job for a month now, and I try to, as much as I can, like everywhere I go, whether it seems like the right time or the not the right time, be like, hey guys, like God loves you. Can I pray for you for anything? All this different stuff. A few days ago, I got to pray for some woman who is a retired lawyer. And she was going through a really hard time, and I didn't know at all. All I did was that same thing. I was like, hey, like I see a lot of people every day. And so I just try to encourage them and bless them. Like, God loves you. And I was like, can I pray? Do you have any pain in your back? That's usually like the most common question that I'll ask if I don't have any words from the Lord. Like, hey, do you have any pain in your back? And she's like, no. Why do you ask though? And so I explained that. And she was like, oh, like I have severe anxiety and this and that. And so I got to pray for her. And she was like the most thankful woman I've ever seen. She's like, you made my day. You're amazing. Like stretching it almost like over the top, grateful and thankful, but she really was. And so, she was just like, I'm really thankful. I'm in an abusive relationship and I'm trying to get out of it right now. I had no idea that stuff before you prayed. And so I'm thinking like, man, like if I had just walked off, I would have never been able to impact or encourage somebody who's probably in a really tough situation. You know, you never know what people are going through or, yeah, just like, even if it's not like a hard situation, what people are going through in their soul, you have no idea if people are like filled with anxiety or fear or all sorts of this and things that are squeezing them and oppressing them. And so I went out to my truck after I got to pray for her and she thanked me up and down. And I was sitting in my truck and she came out and knocked on the window and she said like, hey, like I want to bless you because you blessed me. I'm closing this business. I'm retired. And I'm moving, and there's a whole bunch of pictures and paintings that I'm getting rid of in the basement that were in the law firm. It was a small building. And she was like, I'd love it if you came and looked at them and took one if you wanted. You don't have to. It's up to you. And so I said, all right. You know, like I went down in the basement, and she pulls out like this giant picture. It's like this big. I have it at my house. It's like this big by this big, and it's a giant painting of like it looks like a beach in like DR or somewhere like that, or somewhere, something like that. And it's got to be worth like $300 to $500 maybe. But it's like this enormous painting. And she was like, here, it's yours. Like, you've blessed me so much. I hope that you put it on your wall and think of me every time you look at it. And so I was like, I wrote her name on it and what happened and this and that. But I was just like, this is incredible. And I started to think about like, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Like if you take care of God's business, man, Brother Harry said it so well. If you take care of God's business, he'll take care of your business. If you're focused on what God is focused on, which is bringing redemption to all of mankind through his son, through his sons, through his daughters, which is us. If you focus on that, he'll focus on everything else and take care of you and this and that. And it was like, really touching. I was amazed because it was like, it was just a huge deal to me. I had not expected that. I was not thinking like, I never think like, oh, somebody's going to do something for me. Now I'm just like, man, I want to see God move. I want to experience more of the Lord. I want to see people touched. You know, this, I probably will never see that woman again. Is her life altered? I don't know, but I guarantee you something's different about her life from that experience. And so that's like the mindset that I have, like eternity is going to be different because I had just said something or stepped out, or even if it didn't go well, like even if a situation didn't go well, for instance, like a couple days later, I was at this place in East Orange, I think it was, and it was Hackensack actually. And the guy was like a Chinese guy who owned a store that makes all sorts of different jewelry or sells all sorts of different jewelry. And he had a brace on his knee. And so as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, this is a great opportunity. And so I asked to pray for him and he laughed at me. And then I prayed and he laughed at me while I prayed. And then nothing happened. So I prayed for him again and he laughed at me while I prayed again. And he's just like, all right, like nothing's happening, you know? And so I was like, all right, like have a great day. God loves you. And you go away and you have no idea. It seems like maybe it didn't go well or nothing, but you have no idea like the impact or what that person goes away with or what that, like, that was weird. I've never seen that before. And so, you know, like take shots, you know, it says like take shots. In order to make shots, you got to take shots. In order to see people healed, you got to pray for them. In order to see people changed, you got to sow seed into their lives. You got to take a step out, whatever it is that you have to offer, you know, like the sphere of influence of every person in this room. It's a lot of people that we all see every day. You know, Matthew goes to the gym all the time. You know how many people go to the gym and how many people have injuries in the gym? Probably everybody who walks in there, hopefully not, but 99% of the people in there have had or have some sort of injury that's bothering them. That's like a great opportunity to just be working out next to you and be like, hey, like, you have anything that troubles you in your body or anything like that? This is just the way I think, because I want to see God and I want to make an impact in my neighbor. And it's one person at a time. It's one step at a time. And because of like I started out with, because of the price that Jesus paid for, he wants to see us do greater things than he did. He wants to see us do incredible things and exploits and just demonstrate mercy. You know, it says in Matthew, like, it says, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. So both the woman with the painting and the other woman in Hoboken, who were both really, I'm certain that they saw the mercy of God. I'm certain that they saw like the calmness of God, which wasn't my intent. Like, I'm not thinking like I got to demonstrate the mercy of God. I'm just thinking like, man, this person is here in front of me. Like they need help. I'm certain at some way, shape or form. You know, like I can be a blessing. I can be an encouraging and uplifting word, perhaps partake in a healing, whatever it is. I can be God's hand in God's feet and represent who he is in this moment. Let me not just turn away from it. And so the last one that I want to share is I was in Summit, and I go to churches often because churches often have extinguishers and stuff that relates to my job. And I got to pray with a pastor from Summit, and he had a pinched nerve in his back for 10 years. And so I got to pray and nothing happened, but I was just thinking like, man, like what if God just unpinched his nerve on the spot? Like what? And I can see that. And so like, he was super encouraged. He asked me, and he knows that I'm married because we talked for a while as we did the job. He was like, come and worship with us whenever you want. You know, it was a pleasure meeting you, blah, blah, blah. But I was just thinking like, man, like, I have this wonderful opportunity and God wants to do this right now. Like, how cool would it be if like God just literally unpinched his nerve? Like, I had that image in my head when I was praying for him, like right on the spot. And so if you don't challenge what you see on a regular basis, whether it's miracles or showing kindness or this and that, you'll never grow up into it, because you'll always be like, well, you'll always stay in the same spot if you don't take it one step further. You know, like if you only go so far, you can't make it any farther or see any more of God, because you stop before you would allow yourself to see God move. You know, like if I had went in there and see like, wow, a pinched back nerve, that's tough. You know, like I'm not sure if God can do that, and I don't pray, then if he could do it and he was about to exceed my expectations, and I don't mean if he could, I know he can do it, but if he was going to do it, I'd miss it because I was thinking too small. You know, I was talking to Paolo the other day. One of those days I was at a Chinese restaurant and nobody spoke English. Everybody was talking in Chinese. And so I had like went like, well, I guess I can't ask for prayer or anything or tell them about Jesus. And then I got home and I was like, dude, the God of all languages lives inside of me. Like, I'm thinking too small. I'm thinking too small, you know? And we've heard of tons of different testimonies of different people, like God giving them languages on the spot. And I read it in certain books about John Z. Lake. And I'm thinking like, I got to start thinking the way he thinks. I got to start getting in here so that way I'm not unequipped for the good works that God has prepared me for. You know, in Ephesians 2, it says that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works that he has already prepared. So everywhere you go, there's works waiting for you, whether it's miracles, whether it's mercy, whether it's whatever it is, it's waiting for you. And you either walk right by it or you're involved in it some way, shape, or form. And I want to be involved. We ought to be involved in it. You know, like I speak for myself and I say I a lot, but it's for everyone. I say it to challenge you guys to, man, like, how can I help the person next to me? Maybe it's even carrying groceries up the block. Years ago, I had went to ShopRite because Hannah and Vlasa were making hot wings and they didn't want to go. So I went for them. And on the way back, I saw a woman struggling with groceries. I carried her groceries for her just because I was like, she was like, I live right here. So I figured, you know, like it's on the way home. Why not? The people who are sitting on their porch on the block that is, it's the lower part of my block. I live on the next block. Stopped me and said like, wow, you don't see that every day. Good job, son, or something like that. Randomly. So like you think you're impacting the women when it's somebody else that God's doing something. And just because you're available, just because you're willing, just because you're, you know, like you've taken the message to heart and you're serious about it and you want to see God do something. You want to grow up in love. You want to fulfill why you're here. You know, I think it's Psalms 24:1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all who dwell in it. All who dwell in it. That's a lot of people. But if you don't know your gods, how is anybody else going to ever know that they're gods? And I think about that all the time. Like, if I don't know that I'm loved by him, how is anybody else going to figure it out? Or how is anybody else going to get touched? If I don't know that I can walk in signs, wonders, and miracles, how's anybody else going to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles? Or receive healing, if you will. You know, like if I don't know that I've been redeemed and I can be free from sin, whatever sin may look like, how's anybody else going to know that they can be free from sin and walk in that freedom? If I'm proclaiming Christ or saying I'm a Christian and I don't have what a Christian ought to have or has been made available to a Christian, let's put it that way, because there's no obligation, but it's the free gift that's available if you would dare take hold of it, if you would dare believe and go after it. And something I constantly have been thinking about this week, especially because the pinched nerve and different things, is in Mark 11, it says like Jesus cursed the fig tree earlier on in Mark 11. And then they come back around and Peter marvels and says, look, it's like a few hours according to scripture, maybe like a few days later, but regardless of when it is, they were marveling because it said the fig tree had withered up. And Jesus responds, he says, have faith in God. That's it. Have faith in God. And then he goes on to say, like, when you pray, if you believe with all your heart that what you ask will be done, everything you ask will be done. And so I've just been like sitting in my room like, man, I pray for a lot of people and a lot of people don't get touched. So God, you got to get rid of every ounce of unbelief in my heart, because everything that I pray for it. And I don't mean like get weird with it, like praying for cars and stuff, but I'm saying like praying for the will of God in somebody's life, or a touch from God, or somebody's heart to be changed, or a new perspective in somebody's life. Things that like God is wants to do, is either done in you or done in somebody, and you want to see it be done in somebody else because they're really having a hard time and they need him in their life. Like if you believe with all of your heart, it's done. And I'm constantly like, man, challenging myself with that, you know, and God, give me faith, increase my faith. You know, like I want to see who you are in the situation, not the condition. I don't want the condition to be more powerful than my revelation of who you are. And it's something that I constantly like hammer into myself as someone who wants to see more miracles. But in every situation, I think it's the best way is to constantly like, God, you got to make this more real to me than this. Because if this scripture doesn't become more real to me than this, I'm going to keep seeing this and it's not going to change. And I think about how it says in Hebrews 2, where it says like, we don't see all things under his feet. Every person we pray for will not get healed. Every person who we've prayed for to come to salvation will probably not get saved, but we see Jesus, it says. We see that it's already been accomplished on the cross, that he already won for that person and for the healing, yet we don't see everything we ask come to pass. And so I'm constantly thinking like, man, if I keep my eyes on Jesus, more and more people are going to get saved. More and more people are going to get touched. More and more people are going to get healed. So I'm not focusing on what's not happening or how many times people don't get healed, but I'm focusing on God and how he's been doing something and how it's growing and how it's spreading and how it's becoming more active. And so I say all that to say, which is somewhere I started with, like, it's not me. It's not just me, or it's not some person who has spent years. And I definitely think the more time you spend with God, the more of a relationship you have, the more anointing you have. So I'm not saying like there aren't people who understand it more than others and who grow in it, but it's that what they have is freely available to you if you would pursue it. What any person or hero in the faith that you have, if what they walk in and what they live in and what their day-to-day reality is in Christ is available to you if you would say like, here I am, this is for me, because it's a free gift to all and on all who believe. And this is something that I mentioned to Paola a couple of weeks ago, is like, God plays no favorites, right? And I've been thinking about this, like Jesus wasn't God's favorite. And it sounds funny to think about, because we always think about like Jesus was like God's man, his son. And he is all those things, but God doesn't play any favoritism. So everything Jesus did in his life, there's nothing about it that is like, well, that's Jesus, it'll never be me. Nothing. Nothing. Whether you believe it or not, like walking on water, for instance, it depends on how far you want to take it. You say, well, Jesus did that. I'm not Jesus. But the reality is like, well, Jesus poured his blood out on the cross. So you're the same. You're on the same playing field as Jesus. It's as if you never ate the tree. You have the same Father. You have the same Holy Spirit, the same peace that he has. He says, my peace I give to you. All the things that he walked in and lived in and manifested on a day-to-day basis are yours, because God doesn't play any favorites. And it's such a simple thing that I feel like, yeah, I get it. And then like I walk outside and I'm like, I clearly don't get it, you know? And so I challenge you like on your day-to-day basis, like, God, give me your thoughts, give me your heart. Let's take me deeper. Let's do something I've never done before. Let's get me out of my comfort zone. I want to experience more to you. I don't want to just go through my day. I don't want to just see the same things I've been seeing. You know, like the next time I lay hands on somebody, I want them to get healed. The next time I get a prophetic word for somebody, the next time I pour somebody a cup of coffee or run an errand for my boss, I want it to like mean something, to make an impact, for it to be supernatural, for it to just change the course of eternity, to make an impact. And so, yeah, I think we should live in that place, like perpetually live in that place. Like, God, grow me up, grow me up, grow me up, grow me up. And really just receive. I was reading the other day, and at like the end of the chapter, it was saying like, do not, it was like little encouragements about like past, facets of scripture you just read, and it says, do not try to work for that which can only receive by grace. And I was reading it like, man, I clearly don't get this. Because it's not about like one day I'm going to have sought the Lord enough and suddenly people are going to get out of wheelchairs. It's today because he paid a high price on the cross for healing of all sins, sickness, and death, and all I got to do is receive it. And so like, it doesn't even add up in my head. I'm thinking like, that's nuts. And yet it's still like it's like a, like trying to plug a, you ever seen a plug for an air conditioner? It's like huge and enormous and it doesn't fit into it. It's like trying that. It's like trying to plug an air conditioner in a regular outlet. It's just like, it's like, I get it, like, but it doesn't connect. And so as a body and me personally, I'm like, God, like, help me understand that, like, it's a free gift. It's not about one day. It's not about how much time I spend in prayer or how much, many times I've read the scripture or meditated on it or seen it in a new light. It's simply like, all right, God, you said this, I believe, go outside. Bam. Like, all right, God, you said this, like, I'm highly favored, I'm this, I'm that, I've been accepted in the beloved, I don't have to be filled with anxiety anymore. Great. The next time anxiety comes around, I'm not going to be filled with anxiety. That's it. That's it. I tend to give it more attention than that, but I don't want to anymore. Like, I'm going to keep praying about not being anxiety. Like, no, just receive it and give it away. Just receive it as simply as it is and don't try to work for something that's a free gift. I think, I don't want to say, struggle is the wrong word, but unknowingly, I'm definitely like praying for things that I already have. Unknowingly, I'm like, God, I want more of your spirit so I can see this, this, and this, or I can manifest mercy in a whole new way. And I like, after reading that, I was just like, man, I have that. Like, I just need to understand who I carry. I need to understand what's been given to me, what the blood of Jesus Christ has done for me, you know, like how clean it really has made me. You know, like, it's just, it's beyond words. It's beyond words. And I think about John 15 too, like abide in my love. It's just like abide, live knowing that I love you. Live perpetually knowing that I love you. Yeah, but like this is going to happen. Yes, but I love you. Like, yeah, but this and this and this. And all that is covered in the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so, yeah, I challenge you all to take a step further in every area of your life. Whatever you want to see, it's available to you. If you've been praying about this and that, it's yours. It's yours. If you've been thinking like, man, I want to, me, it's miracles or mercy or just like patience, stuff like that. You, it might be something totally different. Maybe it's freedom from anxiety or a specific sin that you've been struggling with or something. Like, God's already put all of it on the cross and in his son. And when he was crucified, he gave it to you, like we talked about in Hebrews 11 in the beginning. Like the will, the actual will, like when my dad at one point in his life, he's going to get older, he's going to write a will and it's going to say all that I have is Hannah's, Sarasa's, and Jeremy's. And so God's actual will of all that he has was given to you when Jesus passed away from this earth when he was crucified. And so I challenge you guys to take that personal. Whatever that looks like in your life is up for you to decide, but take that personal and sit on it and enjoy it. You know, like it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's what that is. It's goodness and mercy chasing you down and living in your mind and your heart every day.